So this morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, entitled, What Prahlad Maharaj Learned in the Womb. This is text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmad Bhavatibi Kartavyam Karma Nam Tri Punat Bija Niharanam Yoga Pravato Paramo Dhyā. Tasmat. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence and wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Affirmed in the Gita, Mamcha yo vibhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam simititayatan brahma bhuya kalpate. One who engages in full-time devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. Bhakti, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform, transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Third, bija niharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In the Medini dictionary, yoga is explained as by its result. Yoga purvatta sampraptu sangait dhyana yuktishu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation. Muktir hitvanyatarupam swarupena vyavastitataha. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion. Ritu, one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana, and sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi. Tasmad yogi bharvajana. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first class yogi is he who comes to the platform of devotional service. One who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, one is liberated from the material condition. Oman chamarandasya ginangina shilakaya chuksudamiritam janatasmaya si gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam jena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadantishva vadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Gunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Can we have a chair? I think it'll make it easier for devotees to hear her. So this is a very nice microphone. Is this all we got? This is a very nice part of the Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj instructs his friends in the science of Krishna consciousness.
Это очень замечательная часть Бхагаватам, где Шри Прохлад Махарадж дает наставление своим друзьям.
Just prior to these verses, Prahlad Maharaj was studying along with his friends in the classroom.
И в предыдущих стихах Прохлад Махарадж обучался со своими друзьями в классной комнате.
Their teachers were the infamous Sanda and Amarka.
И их учителями были Санда и Амарка.
When someone is good, he can be famous. If someone is bad, we use the word infamous.
Когда человек хороший, то мы говорим, что он знаменит, известный. А когда человек плохой, то мы говорим, что он, ну, его знают.
A devotee is famous because he's good, and a demon is infamous because he's bad.
Преданные, они известны, знамениты за то, что они очень хорошие, а демоны известны своими плохими качествами.
So we don't want to be infamous, we want to be famous.
И мы хотим быть известными за хорошее, а не за плохое.
Famous for being good devotees of the Lord.
Известными — это значит быть хорошими, преданными Господу.
Not that we want to be recognized.
Это не то, что мы хотим, чтобы нас узнавали.
But we would like people to listen to us so that we can explain to them the wonderful science of Krishna consciousness.
Но мы бы хотели, чтобы люди слушали нас, чтобы мы могли рассказать им о замечательном сознании Кришны.
Maharaj Yudhishthira was famous all over the world.
Махараджа Юдхиштхир был знаменит, известен по всему миру.
Because he was a Krishna conscious king.
Потому что он был царь, сознающий Кришну.
Actually, he didn't want to be king.
На самом деле он не хотел быть царем.
He was naturally a very humble devotee. He didn't feel himself qualified.
От природы он был очень смиренным, и он считал себя неквалифицированным.
But the Lord wanted him to be the king and become famous so people would listen to him.
Но Господь хотел, чтобы он стал царем и стал знаменитым, чтобы люди могли слушать его.
Камса, on the other hand, he was infamous.
Камса, с другой стороны, он тоже был известен.
He was also a powerful king.
Он был тоже могущественным царем.
But he wasn't Krishna conscious.
Но он не был сознающим Кришны.
He used his position to exploit others.
И он использовал свое положение, чтобы эксплуатировать других.
So Yudhishthira is famous, and Kamsa is infamous.
Поэтому Юдиштир знаменит, а Камса известен.
So these two teachers, Sanda and Amarka, their names are mentioned here in Srimad Bhagavatam.
И имена этих двух учителей, Санда и Амарки, упоминаются в Шримад Бхагаватам.
That's very rare.
Это очень редко.
This is the most important of all scriptures. Грантарадж is the king of all scriptures.
Это самое важное из всех писаний, Грантарадж.
So to get your name in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's something special.
И если ваше имя находится в Srimad Bhagavatam, то это что-то особенное.
But not if you get named for the wrong thing.
Но, конечно, если оно там не за плохую славу.
Yes, they're famous for being demons.
Они известны за то, что они демоны.
They're demons, and they're teachers how to be a good demon.
Они демоны, и они учат тому, как стать хорошим демоном.
It appears even the demons have to have some instructions how to be a good demon.
И кажется, что даже демонам приходится учиться тому, как стать хорошим демоном.
Because when you're born, you're pretty innocent.
Потому что когда вы рождаетесь, вы довольно-таки чисты.
You're neither here nor there.
И там, или здесь.
You're just kind of innocent.
Вы просто невинны.
You become what you are because of association.
И вы становитесь тем, что вы есть, благодаря общению.
Even if you're born into a brahminical family, but you have bad association, you can become a sudra.
Даже если вы родились в брахманической семье, из-за плохого общения вы можете стать шудрой.
It's all a question of association.
Это только вопрос общения.
And if you're born into a sudra family, but you have good association, you have brahminical association, you have Vaishnava association, you can become a brahmana Vaishnava.
Но даже если вы родились в семье шудры, но у вас есть общение вайшнавов, общение брахманов, то вы можете стать брахмана вайшнавом.
It's all a question of association.
Это только вопрос общения.
And who you take instruction from.
И от кого вы получаете наставление.
So it appears that Hiranyakashipu he wanted all these boys to be instructed how to be good demons. Although they were born in demoniac family, there was no guarantee that they would be demons. Just like all of us. What kind of families were we born into? Saraswati Brahmana families? Who was born into a Saraswati Brahman family? Maybe some of our Manipur devotees. They come from a very rich culture, actually. It's the only country in the world that is still Krishna conscious. Narottam Das Thakur sent his best disciple, Narhari Thakur, up to Manipur to convert the king and everybody else into Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He converted the king, and the king made Krishna conscious the religion for the land. So even today, when you travel in Manipur, you go to the temples, they all have Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai, and Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, all the temples.
И даже сегодня, если вы путешествуете по Манипуру, то можно увидеть, что у них есть храм, во всех храмах у них Рада Кришна, Гаури Нитай и Джаганнатха Баладева Супадра.
It's a culture which is very rich in Krishna consciousness.
Эта культура очень богата сознанием Кришны.
So who was born into such a culture? Raise your hand.
Поднимите руки, кто из вас родился в такой культуре.
Whose parents were Pakka Brahmana Vaishnavas? But nevertheless, due to good association, sadhu sangha, you're sitting where you are today. And if you can continue to maintain that good association, one day you'll sit in the spiritual world with Krishna and Balaram and take prasadam in Vrindavan.
Поддерживать такое общение, то однажды вы будете сидеть в духовном мире вместе с Кришной и Баларамой.
Sanatana Goswami says that just as bell metals change into gold by a mystical process, so a person of low birth, by good association and instruction, can become a Brahmana Vaishnava. Sanatana Goswami.
Sanatana Goswami говорил, что так же, как кусок металла может превратиться в золото благодаря химическим, мистическим реакциям. Также и человек низкого рождения может стать преданным.
So Hiranyakashipu, he knew these things because he actually read the Vedas.
И Хираньякашипу на самом деле знал это, потому что он читал Веды.
There's a part here in the seventh canto where he's preaching to his family members transcendental knowledge.
И в одной части седьмой песни описывается, как он рассказывает своей семье о трансцендентном знании.
So he knew these things.
Итак, он знал эти вещи.
He was no fool.
Он не был глупцом.
He was a very intelligent demon.
Он был очень разумным демоном.
So he wanted all these boys to get a demoniac education to ensure that they would be good little demons.
И он хотел, чтобы все его мальчики получили хорошие демоническое образование, чтобы быть уверенным, что из них получится хороший демон.
So these two men, Sanda and Amarka, they were employed as the teachers.
И эти двое людей, Санда и Амарка, были наняты как учителя.
And they were teaching the boys diplomacy.
И они обучали детей дипломатии.
How to cheat and win.
Как жульничать и выигрывать.
Because when you cheat, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But if you're a demon, you could always win.
Потому что когда вы жульничаете, вы можете выиграть, можете проиграть, но демоны они всегда выиграют.
In the gambling match between Yudhishthira, the Pandavas, and the Kurus, the game was rigged. It means that Shakuni, he made the dice in such a way that the Pandavas would lose and the Kurus would win.
И когда Махараджа Юдхиштхира играл в кости, то Шакуни устроил так, что
So they were learning these things, the boys. How to gamble, how to exploit other persons. This is what they were being taught. But then they had a tiffin break. You know what a tiffin break is? Tiffin? Tiffin is where in India you see those little three-tiered things they carry. There's rice, dal, sabji, sweet. That's called a tiffin. When I first started going to India, around 12 o'clock noon, around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the workers would come out of their offices, all holding their tiffins, and they would go to the nearby park, and all the workers would sit in the park, and they would eat out of their tiffins. It was called a tiffin break.
Дня или в час, то все люди, они выходили из офисов, они все несли вот эти тройные набор посуды, и они шли в парк, и там ели.
Now, India has changed. They go to McDonald's and Colonel Sanders for fried chicken.
Но сейчас в Индии изменилось, они все ходят в эти Макдональдсы и едят жареный цыплят.
No more rice, dal, chapatis, but chicken, and this is becoming very bad. Anyway, the teachers went out for their tiffin break and the boys were left alone. As soon as Prahlad Maharaj had the chance, he stood up and started preaching Krishna consciousness. This is a businessman that's looking for every opportunity to make money. So a devotee is looking for any and every opportunity to inject Krishna consciousness into the hearts of the conditioned souls. He doesn't have to wait till the summer tour. He or she is always preaching Krishna consciousness. What they learn on the tour and the spirit of preaching that they imbibe on the tour, they carry with them the entire year. So Prahlad Maharaj, he stood up, he said, "Hey boys, we shouldn't play. We should use this time for being serious about Krishna consciousness." Although it appeared that he was a student, actually he was the best of all teachers. Why was he the best of all teachers? Because he immediately began explaining the king of education. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Patyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartam Avyayam. You all know that verse, I'm sure. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So that's what Prahlad was teaching, therefore he's the best of teachers. As far as the education that Sand and Amarka were giving, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has stated, Jara Vidya Maraya Bhaibhava Tomara Bhajane Bhadha. He says, all mundane knowledge is but the power of the Lord's illusory energy, Maya.
Он говорил, что все мирское знание находится под влиянием иллюзорной энергии Господа Майи.
And it is an impediment to pure devotional service.
И оно неподходящее для преданного служения.
So as soon as Prahlad Maharaj started to speak, his relationship with all of his friends changed.
И как только Прохлад Махарадж начал говорить, отношение всех его одноклассников изменилось.
He was no longer just one of the boys.
Он не был просто больше одним из мальчиков.
They could see that.
Они могли это видеть.
Because a devotee carries himself in a particular way.
Потому что преданный ведет себя определенным образом.
But more important, they could see he was different by his speech.
Но более того, они видели, что он отличается от них своей речью.
They could hear. He was speaking like no one else had ever heard before.
Они видели, что он говорит так, как никто до этого не говорил.
No other authority in their life was speaking transcendental knowledge, glorifying Lord Vishnu or Krishna.
Никто до этого из их авторитетов не давал трансцендентное знание, прославляющее Верховную Личность Богу, Кришну.
And hearing that knowledge, they became very respectful.
И слушая об этом знании, они стали очень почтительными.
Their relationship with Prahlad became a little formal, you could say.
И можно сказать, что их отношения с Прахладом Махараджем стали формальными.
Just like Krishna and Arjuna.
Так же, как Кришна и Арджуна.
Before the battle of Kurukshetra, they were the best of friends.
До битвы на Курукшетре они были лучшими друзьями.
Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is that of sakya or friendship.
Дружба Арджуны с Кришной находится в внутренней сакхи, дружбе.
Not exactly like the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. It's a little bit different. It's a different type of friendship. But it's a friendship nonetheless.
Не совсем так, как во Вриндаване с мальчиками и пушками, но так или иначе это дружба.
In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, at one point, Arjuna speaks about his friendly relationship with Krishna. He said, we used to sit on the same bed together. We used to tell jokes together. We used to eat off the same plate. But as soon as Krishna took the position of teacher and Arjuna became the student, the relationship changed. It became a little more formal.
Но когда Кришна стал учителем, а Арджуна стал его учеником, то их отношения немного поменялись, они стали более официальными.
And there's a reason for that.
И есть причина для этого.
It's necessary for the transmission of transcendental knowledge.
Это необходимо для передачи духовного знания.
Unless one has a sense of awe and reverence for the master, he will not take the words of the master seriously.
Если у человека нет почтительного отношения к учителю, то он не сможет принять его слова.
If you don't respect your teacher, you won't take what he says seriously.
Если вы не уважаете своего учителя, то вы не сможете серьезно принять его слова.
Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, there's a lot of etiquette between the guru and the disciple just to keep their positions safe, one as master and one as disciple, so that the disciple will hear the words of the spiritual master with faith.
И поэтому сознание Кришны обучается, что отношения между духовным учителем и учеником должны поддерживаться, что они должны занимать свои места, и тогда ученик сможет слышать духовного учителя.
Therefore, one always addresses the spiritual teacher with an honorific title like Guru Maharaj or Guru Dev or Guru Pad or something like that.
И поэтому преданные они обращаются к своему духовному учителю с такими уважительными словами, как Guru Dev, Guru Pad.
And whenever one sees the spiritual master, as often as is practical, one offers obeisances to the spiritual master.
И каждый раз, когда человек видит своего духовного учителя, неважно как часто это, он должен всегда предлагать ему поклон.
And at least three times a day, one tries to remember the lotus feet of the spiritual master.
И по крайней мере три раза в день нужно вспоминать о лотосных стопах своего духовного учителя.
So immediately there was no introduction. Here is your guru. You should bow down to him. Just by his self-effulgence, so to speak, by his Krishna consciousness, the boys understood Prahlad's superior position, and they started listening to him.
And there was no такого вступления, что это ваш учитель, вы послушайте его, но из-за того свечения, которое исходило от Прохлады Махараджа, от сознания Кришны, которое он дал им, все мальчики сразу поняли.
And what is the very first thing that Prahlad Maharaj says to them?
И что самое первое сказал им Прохлад Махарадж?
My dear friends, your duty is to take the Krishna consciousness.
Он сказал, мои друзья, ваш долг это принять сознание Кришны.
He immediately enlightened them about the purpose of life.
Он сразу же просветил их о цели жизни.
My dear friends, you're not these bodies.
Мои друзья, вы не тело.
You got these tiny little 5-year-old bodies.
Вы не являетесь этими 5-летними маленькими телами.
Rather, you are the Atma, you are the soul within that body.
Но вы Атма, душа, находящаяся в теле.
And then what's more, the nature of that soul is the soul is an eternal servant of Krishna.
И более того, изначальное положение этой души – это вечное служение Кришне.
Jiva Supaya Krishnara Nitya Das. Of course, that's Bengali. He wasn't speaking Bengali. But that's the essence. My dear boys, you are eternal servants of Krishna. Therefore, serve Krishna.
Мои друзья, вы все вечные слуги Кришны, поэтому служите Кришне.
The Sanskrit word for duty is dharma.
И санскритское слово для долга это дхарма.
Not dharma, but dharma, dharma. And the word dharma has been translated in many ways.
И слово дхарма может переводиться многими способами.
When you go to India and you're in learned circles amongst higher caste people, you often hear this word dharma. We have to do our dharma. We have to do our duty. They're very duty conscious. At least they used to be.
Если вы поедете в Индию и будете общаться в высших кругах, то вы очень часто можете слышать это слово дхарма, потому что все они говорят, это наш долг, мы должны выполнять свой долг, они очень думают о долге.
By nature's way, we have many duties.
И естественно, у нас есть много обязанностей.
We all have various dharmas.
У нас очень много дхармы.
The Shastra points out specifically we have dharma to our parents. We have dharma to society, to mankind. We have a duty to the previous sages. We have a duty to our forefathers. We have a duty to demigods. We even have an obligation to ordinary people, the Shastra points out. Why do we have certain duties in relationship to all these people? Because human society is very interdependent. We exist because of the mercy of so many others. So we have a debt to them. We have a duty to them. There was a famous, I think he was English philosopher. His name was John Donne. He said, no man is an island. Complete in himself. Like if you imagine a tropical island, it's got, you know, an oasis of water, and it's got fruits, and it's got wood, and you think, oh, this is so nice, everything's complete here. So he said, no man is an island, complete in himself. He said actually the word entire of itself, he said, but he meant, no man is complete by himself. Everyone is interdependent upon others.
Ни один человек не является полным, совершенным в себе. Все взаимозависимы.
He went on to say that any man's death diminishes me because I am involved with all of mankind.
И он говорил, что смерть любого человека уменьшает меня, потому что я связан со всем человечеством.
So why are we indebted to all these people?
И почему же мы должны перед всеми этим?
Let us appreciate the fact. Let's understand dharma. What are we indebted to our parents for? Well, look in the mirror. It's your body. Mom and dad got together one night and then they made your body.
однажды мама и папа ночью встретились вместе и дали вам тело.
And mommy gave you her milk and maintained your body, and daddy went out and worked and got the bread, which made you grow up.
И мама надавала вам молоко и поддерживала вас, а ваш отец зарабатывал деньги, приносил хлеб, и вы росли.
And they helped educate us. Until that day that we could fly from the nest. When did you fly from the nest? I flew from the nest when I was 14. And I didn't go to Gurukul. How are we indebted to mankind? How are we indebted to society? Well, lots of other people, they produce food that we can eat. They make roads which we travel on. They bring water from out of the ground so we can drink it. And they create sewage channels. When the water is bad, it goes elsewhere. And they build schools like this famous school in this town. As far as we are concerned, this is the most famous school in Poland. So we're indebted. We have a dharma to them. How are we indebted to the great sages? Because they are the transcendental, transparent medium by which transcendental knowledge comes down from God. Avam param parapaptam imam rajasyo vidu. How are we indebted to our forefathers? Because they invented all kinds of cool things. Like Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. You can think, that's no big thing. They only cost, two zlotys. But at one time there were no light bulbs in the world. They didn't know how to utilize electricity. He got the brain how to do it. We're indebted to the demigods because they manage everything very nicely. You can imagine if even one demigod spaced out for 1 second, what would happen?
Right.
If Indra said, oops, or Brahma said, oops, it's like the doctor, he's operating on you. Oops, what do you mean oops? What happened? What happened? So they're very conscientious, so we thank them, and we thank Vidishwan and Indra for providing us a nice day for our first Harinam. So therefore, Vedic culture, so much stress is dharma. They so much stress dharma. We're so much obligated to so many other people for the things they're doing for us. So you have to try to pay the debt back to these people. But if you think about it, it'd take you all day and night to do that. So Vedic scripture says that there's a way that you can do it. You can satisfy everybody. Just worship the source of all creation, who's Krishna. Because everyone and everything is dependent upon Him. There's that famous verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhutaptan rinam pitrinam na king karunayam rinicha rajan sarvatmana yashanam sayanam gato mukundam parihrityakartam. That one who has given up all material duties and taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda,
тот, кто отказывается от всей материальной деятельности и принимает убежище лотосных стоп Господа Мукунды,
who gives shelter to everyone,
который дает прибежище всем,
such a person is not indebted to the demigods,
такой человек не в долгу перед полубогами,
the great sages,
великими мудрецами,
ordinary people,
обычными людьми,
relatives, friends, mankind, or even to one's forefathers who have passed away. And we all know the classic example. What's the classic example? Watering the tree. If you, there's branches and there's twigs and there's leaves and there's little flowers. If you want to nourish them, you don't have to water them each individually. You water the root of the tree and everyone gets their nourishment.
На нем есть веточки, листочки, цветы. И если вы хотите заботиться о них, то не обязательно их по отдельности поливать. Можно просто полить корень дерева, и тогда все будет расти.
So if you just worship Krishna, you become debt free.
И если вы просто поклоняетесь Кришне, то вы освобождаетесь от долга.
You're not indebted to anyone else. If you worship Krishna, everyone should be satisfied. If Krishna is worshipped nicely, you are free of all debts.
Если вы просто поклоняетесь Кришне, то все удовлетворены. Если удовлетворен Господь, то у вас нет никакого долга.
In Vedic culture, to have debts is considered a very bad thing.
В ведической культуре, если у вас долг, то это очень плохо.
Chanaka Pandit says that if a man dies a debtor, he becomes the enemy of his family.
И Чанакья Пандит говорит, что если человек умирает и оставляет долги, то он становится худшим врагом этой семьи.
If a man died untimely, had a lot of debts, then he's considered the enemy of his wife and the enemy of his children, because in Vedic culture, they were responsible for continuing to pay those debts. So in the same way, if you die before you reciprocate with all these different living entities who are helping to maintain you, if you die before perfectly satisfying them, that's considered very bad. Therefore, so much talk about dharma in Vedic culture. You have to repay your parents, you have to repay the demigods, you have to do pinda and repay the demigods, or the forefathers. How do you pay back your parents? By yourself conceiving children, having a son? How do you repay your forefathers? You go to Gaya in India and you offer pinda, you offer prasad from the temple of Lord Vishnu. In memory of your forefathers, they get released from any terrible conditions they may be in. How do you repay the sages? By feeding them. How do you repay the demigods? You do Agnihotras. But you don't have to do that if you just please Krishna. Then you become debt free. And how do you please Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Then you repay your debt even to God. How many of you would like to be debt free? So repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Ah, now you can rest free, no debts.
But.
She's learning. There's one debt that you can never repay.
Есть один долг, который вы никогда не сможете оплатить.
I'm sorry. There's one debt you can never repay. What is that one debt you can never repay? You can never repay the debt you owe to your spiritual master.
Но вы никогда не сможете оплатить один долг. И что это за долг? Это долг перед вашим духовным учителем.
Why?
Почему?
Because the value of the gift that he gives you far exceeds the value of anything else in this world.
Потому что тот дар, который он дает вам, превосходит по ценности все дары этого мира.
You can put a price on practically everything in this world. It may be a big figure, so long, billions and billions and billions and trillions and godzillions of dollars it costs.
В этом мире можно повесить цену на все. Там могут быть огромные цифры, миллионы, миллиарды.
But you could never put a price on what the spiritual master gives you. It's priceless.
Но нельзя повесить цену на то, что дает вам духовный учитель. Это бесценно.
And he doesn't just give you one thing.
Он дает вам что-то одно.
He gives you the whole world of Krishna consciousness.
Он дает вам целый мир сознания Кришны.
I remember one lecture in Chicago, Prabhupada said, "Here is Krishna, take him." Usually Krishna is very difficult to achieve. Practically Krishna is impossible to achieve. But by the mercy of the spiritual master, Krishna becomes easily accessible. So Guru gives you mantra, he gives you diksha. He gives you sadhusanga, devotees association. He gives you seva, he gives you service. He gives you the dham. Whatever good you've got in life, that has come from Guru Parampara. How you can pay him back? Trying to pay the Guru back is like offering a candle to the sun. It's like taking a palmful of water and offering it back to the Ganges. It's insignificant, but it's the mood that counts. So although we can't pay the spiritual master back, still we have to try. And one gets immediate benefit from trying to repay the spiritual master. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj mentions one of the benefits of serving Guru and Krishna. He said, such service burns to the root the seed of fruitive activity. Such service also guarantees one liberation. But most important, eventually, it will give us prema, love of God. And that's our ticket home back to the spiritual world. So, we have to try. This is the one debt that can never be repaid, but we have to try. And how do we try? By pleasing the spiritual master. And fortunately, it's no secret what pleases the spiritual master. Actually, we know what pleases Śrīla Prabhupāda. Preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupāda knew the science of devotional service. He knows, because he's teacher, he knows what pleases Krishna. Even that's no secret. Krishna says in Gita, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching my message. No in the future shall anyone be so dear. So we're all very fortunate now that we've all come together to pay our debt off to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Because this Sankirtan movement, preaching Krishna consciousness, pleases Prabhupāda more than anything.
Потому что это движение, это сознание Кришны удовлетворяет Прабхупаду более, чем что-либо.
Now usually when you're paying back debts, it's not a very nice thing.
Обычно, когда отдаешь долги, это не очень хорошая вещь.
This big burden on your head, you know, to pay back these debts that you're working, all along you're thinking, I'm just paying off the debt. I can't even use the money for something new. I'm just paying off the old. It's not very fun. I know sometimes when I go collecting, people ask me, is this just going to pay off old debts, or is this for something positive, something fresh? And I say, oh, no, no. We don't have any debts on the Lakshmi and the Sringadev tour. We collect a lot of money and we spend it all. Right, so it's no fun to work just to pay off old debts. It's fun to work for something new, a new iPod, a new computer, a trip here. We don't like to pay off debts. Ugh. But this debt that we have to Śrīla Prabhupāda and Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, this is very nectarian paying off this debt. Don't think of it in the same way.
Но тот долг, который у нас есть перед Шри Прабхупадой и Господом Чайтаньей Махапрабху, это очень элитарный долг, и отдавать его очень приятно.
There's many parallels between Krishna conscious life and mundane life.
Есть много параллелей между жизнью в сознании Кришны и мирской жизнью.
In Detroit, Prabhupada said, we're living in this house and someone is living in that house. The houses look the same. What's the difference? They're in Maya and we're in Krishna consciousness. So some people are working to pay off their debts. And we're also working to pay off our debts. But what's the difference? Shushukam kartum avyayam. Our paying off the debt, it's very joyful. Because how do we pay off our debt? We go out on the streets and we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And we're very happy chanting Hare Krishna. And we're even more happier when we see other people who've never heard about Krishna also start to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this process of Krishna consciousness preaching, it will do good for you and it will do good for others. And we have a whole summer of festivities ahead of us, paying our debt back to Śrīla Prabhupāda and enjoying it all the while. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. We have Darshan, then Prasadam, and then Sankirtan.